This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Daryl Scott.
Pulling down the rafters as they backed out of the hole. It's dangerous, but the boss wants every last bit of that coal. It's gravy time if it's not your own life on the line. Sometimes on safety, it pays to pay the fines. Grand Canyon, Utah, 9 miners died. It was an act of God. Nothing to do with me, said Mr. Murray, who owned the mine. I'm a Christian man. I hope they all believed God took those miners at his chosen time. At his chosen time. He said it was an earthquake out of his control. Carla Mae Montoya's husband's never coming home. The seismic university, his plea did not confirm. Oh, a penny saved is not a penny earned. It was an act of God. Nothing to do with me, said Mr. Murray, who owned the mine. I'm a Christian man. I hope they all believe God took those miners at his chosen time. And his chosen time. I'm a Christian man. God took those miners at his chosen time, at his chosen time.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be welcoming back to the program Daryl Scott. How are you doing, Daryl?
Hello, John. I'm doing great.
Daryl is a true musician's musician and a songwriter's songwriter, known for his career as a soloist and frontman for his own projects, as well as his collaborations with folks like Tim O'Brien, Steve Earle, Sam Bush, Emmylou Harris, Zac Brown, and many others. He's also a multi-instrumentalist and was part of the Band of Joy along with Robert Plant and Patty Griffin and Buddy Miller. As if that was not enough, he's had his songs recorded by other artists, including Brad Paisley, the Dixie Chicks, Keb Moe, and Kathy Mattea. And we should mention to folks that we are speaking to Daryl from, it's Nashville, or outside of Nashville, am I correct?
Yeah, it's East Nashville. And believe it or not, it's a very different feel than Nashville, and it's just across the river, but it's one of those towns where you go across the river and it has a different history and vibe and feel and maybe different real estate.
Yeah. Well, and as I recall, there's some footage of said East Nashville and your neck of the woods on your website.
Right. That's actually 2 hours further east. Yeah, I'm at a friend's studio in East Nashville today. But those photos you're talking about are from my cabin. I got a place in the woods about 2 hours from Nashville, and it's very rural. We just got solar panels in the last 3 months, and we grow our own food, quite a bit of it. And so, I'm spending some time off the road and in that cabin and on that land. It's great.
The most recent recording project is called 10, and that refers to 10 songs of Ben Bullington. And some of our listeners will, of course, be familiar with Ben Bullington. He was a songwriter based out of the Livingston area for many years, also a physician as well. And he passed away of pancreatic cancer in 2013, just 58 years old. And it's important on our end to make this happen, just to give folks a little bit more backstory. For some reason, every time we tried to schedule an interview with Ben, he was heading to Missoula and I was heading to his area, and we kept crossing paths. And much to my sadness, we never actually met. So this is really a neat thing, I think. This is really a very positive thing to be able to feature his music through your voice and talk a little bit about his work and obviously your interpretations and your career as well. So maybe let's just start with how you came to know Ben's writing and just how you came to know Ben in general.
Well, I got to know Ben first before I knew his writing, and Joanne Gardner, who lives over in Livingston, thought the two of us ought to meet, and we were both divorced fathers, and I was playing Grand Targhee, like I often do, and I was going to go camping afterwards with my kids. I brought my kids to Targhee, and then we were going to go to Yellowstone and camp, and Ben had his two youngest boys are the same age of my two youngest. And then I also brought my daughter. So we met east of Yellowstone in the National Forest. And we camped for probably three or four nights together with our families, our children. And it wasn't about songs. It wasn't about guitars. It wasn't about any of that. As a matter of fact, we didn't even break out the guitars around the campfire. We just were with our children. And it was years later, actually, 4 to 5 years later, that I heard his songs. And the only defense I have is to meet another father who's, left the home place, and spending time with his kids is way more important to me than another musician or singer or songwriter person. I'm inundated with that, but I don't know enough divorced fathers.
One night all alone, you'll be driving toward home, and you'll turn on the car radio, and you'll hear the man singing and playing guitar on some 2-hour folk music show. You'll lean your head closer and turn up the sound as the signal fades in and out. But you'll hear every line, and the voice will be mine, and you'll know who I'm singing about. I remember your mouth, I remember your hair, I remember the books that you read, and the way that your ear could quiet my fear as we lay talking in bed. Your animal flames in minutes could change to a wisdom that answered my doubt. And I want you to know I still feel that glow. You're the one I'm still thinking about. Mm-hmm. all pleasures and strife. Adventures some high and some low. And every taste that I've tasted is still on my tongue, layered like late winter snow. Some days I wonder how you've weathered the years, through times of good rainfall and drought. Hear this song like a wave when I go to my grave. You're the one I'll be thinking about.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and we're speaking today with Daryl Scott by phone from East Nashville, actually. We've been talking today about the recording 10, the songs of Ben Bullington, a project that Daryl produced, that is the songs of Livingston-based singer-songwriter Ben Bullington, who passed away of pancreatic cancer in 2013. I mean, it sounds to me like you guys connected on more of a core level, just as men.
Absolutely. And we have one story that I think really kind of bound us together as far as I'm concerned. And I'll carry this story for the rest of my life. And that's our boys. And I think this was like August. Our boys were seeing a patch of snow out in the distance that hadn't even melted since the winter time or spring. And so my boys, being from Tennessee, wanted to go see the snow. So the four of them, we were up on a bluff camping. They walked out into a large field, maybe 300 or 400 yards away, and they were just playing in the snow. And we were taking it as a time at the camp to sort of everyone kind of go do your own thing, you know, just, you know, go read a book, go hang out. And so I was doing that, and so was Ben. And I noticed something off to the west of where the boys were, just sort of in the woods or in the brush. And it just looked very, very big. And then I walked closer to the bluff. And then about that time, Ben was walking there too. And I said, "Is that what I think it is?" And he said, "Yeah, it's a grizzly." Mm. And so the grizzly was between us up on the bluff and where the boys were. And he was just off really minding his own business, the grizzly. We didn't know what kind of, if they were going to be in danger or whatever. A very striking moment. And then so we were waving for the boys to get back up on the bluff where we were, and the wind was blowing the wrong direction, so they couldn't hear us, you know, yelling. Mm-hmm. Oh, they could just see us, you know, looking you know, very worried, and, you know, flagging them to come back. And so they started walking slowly back to where we were, and not really even knowing what we could see. And eventually they got up to the bluff, and then we all stood on the bluff as the grizzly, the male grizzly, passed right where they were, and just kept going. The grizzly didn't even look at us, but it was just an amazing situation that Ben and I shared with our boys, as fathers standing up on a bluff with a bear between us and our kids.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so that's how important, that's the kind of stuff me and Ben were doing. We weren't singing Kumbaya. We had a bear experience.
Met her years ago one summer. She was working at a church camp up the Boulder River. It was the first time I felt that ache and wonder. It was the first time I felt a woman quiver.
I went home for summer football. She went back to Fallon County. She was the only thing I thought about every minute, every day. I tried to write her letters. I tried to keep her near me. But every time she wrote back, she was farther away. I played my last game in a loss against White Sulphur. I went home that night and I got ready for a ride. Packed some clothes and some blankets in a 30-gallon garbage bag. Was up before the daylight with the barn door open wide. From Stanford down through Harlow, past Baker to the North Dakota line, I rode my sorrel gelding. And I followed this green heart of mine. Big ponderosas, the sweetness of the cottonwoods, beauty of a sunrise over miles and miles of sage. Antelope and mule deer, white tail, and a touch of fear. A sea of prairie grasses and a thousand birds of prey.
Well, Daryl, let's follow that up then with the same question I started with. How did you become familiar with his writing and the fact that he was a songwriter? And
yeah,
then follow that up with then how the project came together, once Ben had passed away.
Well, I heard Ben's songs for the first time when he knew that he had about a year to live. On his bucket list was he always wanted to play a writer's round. That's where three or four writers get together on a stage and just sit there and, you know, one song after another, we all take turns playing songs. And that's a very Nashville thing to do here. And he had never done one. And so Joanne, who used to live in Nashville, knows everybody. She called me and Rodney Crowell and Will Kimbrough. And then the three of us and Ben had a writer's round at the Station Inn. And then when I heard song after song of just great songwriting, great integrity, great literature, great storytelling, and obviously someone who loved songs as much as I did and as much as any of the other guys on stage, he was one of us, is what he was. Sort of flying forward there with him having about a year to live, he started spending more time. Well, he quit his doctoring job like the day he got his the test results, because being a doctor, he knew exactly what that meant. And so he went and quit that day, and he spent the last year, I mean, certainly taking treatments and medicines and all that, but also trying to do some of the singer-songwriter travel and festival this and that. I think that he would have liked to have done maybe sooner, but he really got on with it for that last year. And that's what he did. And sometimes he wouldn't feel good because of the treatments and things like that. But it was really important for him to have done that. It just seemed like that's a very much a chosen path that he had, was to spend good quality time with his boys, with his friends, and to take his songs out that he really hadn't done prior to that. And I was, all of us who knew Ben were very touched by that. I'm still touched by it. And that kind of thing was really the source of why I wanted to do a record of Ben's songs.
Found pasture for my horse just out of Baker. Took a room there for the night. Washed some clothes, shaved my face. I bought some roses at a florist there next morning. Asked for directions and I rode out to her place. Found her house and tied my pony to a tree. Ran fingers through my hair as I walked to the door. And there she stood, I could see it wasn't good. She gave a nervous laugh, said, "What did you come here for?" From Stanford down to Harlow, past Baker to the North Dakota line, I rode my sorrel gelding, and I followed this green heart of mine. Stopped at a ranch on Powder River. I'd spend a night there on my way through. I called my father, said, "Bring the horse trailer." I wish to God I'd listened to you. Nineteen days across Montana. There was frost on every morning and that damn November wind. All of my life to do without her. 400 miles just to turn back again.
Daryl, let's take that story of how you got to know Ben as a person, as a man, and as a songwriter to the point where he then passed away from pancreatic cancer. And now you take on the project of recording his music. And I should say, I've always been a tremendous fan of your work as an interpreter. Yeah. So talk about how you brought that skill to and just what, you know, how you approached a project like this. It's a very beautiful, intimate recording with different instruments. It's a really intimate and luscious, dare I use the word luscious, palette of sound.
The last time I saw Ben, he was doing a show at, I believe it's the Elks Lodge in Livingston. And I had a break in some travel, so I came out just to see him. It was at the Elks Lodge at that night that I understood what I was going to do. It just kind of was like a flash, like, I know what I'm going to do. And that is to make a recording of Ben's songs. And really where I started was I recorded two songs on my iPhone and on the memo thing. And I remember one was in my house. The first one I sent him was I Gotta Leave You Now, a great song of his. And that's the actual recording. That iPhone recording is the one that finishes the album. It's that same recording that he heard before he passed. I wanted him to hear his songs coming at him, rather than from him. For a songwriter, to me, that's a very important perspective to have. I had a sense he knew how great those songs were. I would think that knowledge is what had him sit so comfortably with Rodney Crowell and me and Will Kimbrough at that writer's round. But it's still a different perspective when you have someone else singing your song to you. And it's an interesting perspective, and I wanted him to have that. And so from a production point of view, I didn't want it to be a production, like, you know, ta-da, or, you know, drums and pianos and harmonies and all the stuff. Ben's songs are A, so good, and B, so pure, they don't really need to have all that kind of orchestration or production. So I knew what my task was to do the songs just by myself, and so no other musician, and with one instrument. So sometimes it would be a piano or a banjo or a nylon string guitar or a steel string guitar, this or that. You know, I don't know if anyone listens to albums from top to bottom anymore, honestly, with the download world that we live in, but I made that record with the hope that someone, if they put the time in to listen from top to bottom, Ben's writing and my just trying to read them in a very clear and honest way would pay off for the listener, I hoped.
Too many men are worse than rodents. Too many kill with easy minds. Just used to memorize a passage from a fabled god whose hands are full of time. Our souls might mingle in the after torch like four friends smoking on a midnight porch. I've always loved you the best I knew how. I gotta leave you now.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and we're speaking today with Daryl Scott. We've been talking today in great part about his most recent recording project, 10 Songs of Ben Bullington. And we want to make sure to refer folks to the website that we've been talking about a little bit today, darylscott.com. But we also want to let folks know, as long as we're talking about Ben Bullington, Ben also recorded several recordings. And so Ben Bullington, BullingtonBullington.com is where you can find out more about his work. Well, again, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you, John.
Connection to this planet's all but gone. But I hope you have real love in your future.
This is John Floridas. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Daryl Scott. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. And as well, you can contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. We also have a Facebook page, and you can find us there as well. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.